To Nicodemus, Jesus said, "You must be born again." To Zacchaeus, Jesus said, "Hey, come down out of this tree. I'm going to have lunch with you today." Jesus handled different people differently, didn't he? The woman who was caught in adultery, brought in a very public place to him, said, "This woman was caught in the very act." He said, "I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more." And yet to those who were the religious leaders, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, brood of vipers." It's interesting when you look at Scripture, when you look at Christ, to see that he really did talk very differently to different people. Was he being two-faced? Was he being consistent to his character? We have a tendency to think, well, you're supposed to be the same way with everybody. Well, yes, a person of integrity. But the passage we're going to look at today will show you that there is a way to shape your life that it will meet the need of the one you're with. That you would, so to speak, maximize your opportunity. Napoleon said, "In every major battle, there is a period of time of about 10 to 15 minutes. Well, if you will win that portion, you'll win the battle. And if you lose it, you'll lose the battle." Friends, you and I are in a spiritual battle. We are in a battle for the souls and lives of men and women and children to bring them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that critical moment of time, of season of time, we are called to maximize the opportunity. We are called to step into his plan. So turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 4, because I think we oftentimes face huge challenges in our lives with defining the difference between what is urgent and what is important. And knowing how God's working in your life so that you'll be sensitive to the plans. Now, last week as we were working through this book, we saw that we are to be devoted to prayer. Amen? And that process of saying, "I will seek God's blessing in every situation. I will do it with thanksgiving so that doors of ministry might be open." All right? This week, I'm going to talk about a couple of things that are very simple and significant. Your deeds and your words. Won't take long. Only two verses, right? Take a look at this in Colossians chapter 4, because I believe if we get this, it will transform the effectiveness of your testimony and the impact of your life. So he says, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom." I'm in verse 5. "With wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so you will know how to respond to each person." I want you to conduct yourselves with wisdom. I don't know about you, but I know there's way too many days when you finish a situation and you go, "Oh, that was really stupid." You know what I'm talking about? You just go, "Oh man, why did I say that? Why did I do that? I mean, gee, if I'd have thought that through just a little bit farther." But it's interesting, the whole portion of what he's talking about here is as a believer, he says, I want you to be living in a distinct awareness about how your life is impacting those who are outsiders. And that's not a term that we see used very often in the epistles. But it's that idea of someone who is not family. That is not a part of Christ's family. They are not those who would name the name of Christ. He says, your behavior, your conversation around them affects them. That's a sobering thought. So he says, you're to be wise towards outsiders. In essence, let me make it very simple. You, and of course I, are responsible for you. You are responsible for you. I am responsible for me. We have to take responsibility for ourselves. And there's a tendency to say, oh, well, you know, you just know how I am. And some of you may name your ethnic background as your excuse. You may name the part of the country you come from, or you may blame it on your relatives. But you are responsible for you to live Christ before those around you and to live Him consistently. Do you understand this? That God has strategically placed you at this moment in time with those neighbors, with those in-laws, with that boss, with that student, that you would show them Jesus. And I think that's the most awesome responsibility in the world. You know, when I step into the pulpit, I always sense this heavy responsibility. You know, particularly yesterday when this building was full and I knew I had so many people who really didn't know Jesus and who were desperately looking in other ways to find life. And there's just that sense of, oh, okay, this is important. Do you guys understand that thought? That's you with your neighbor. Do you understand? That's you in that store. That's you when you're going over to lunch with those friends. There's a pulpit in your life. And you are living out a message and proclaiming a message from that pulpit that makes you a billboard to the people around you. And he says, I want you to conduct yourself with wisdom. For some of you, you want to translate that just a little blunter. It's don't be an idiot. Make the most out of this opportunity. You will not necessarily get this chance again. And some of us can look back on those, can't we? And realize people that we had an opportunity with and we never said anything. We had the opportunity and what we lived turned them away. All right, listen. Wisdom is what? It's that ability to discern God's best course of action and the faith to choose it, to walk it out. Is that you will do the will of God in certain situations. So here's the principle I want you to see, is that wise conduct maximizes opportunities to communicate Christ. It'll maximize it. So what we're talking about first is oftentimes what people don't want to talk about first. It's your actions. You need to lead with your deeds. And there's a tendency for some people to lead with their mouth. I'd be one of those. You know, lips are my specialty. But there's times when what people need to receive from you is not words, but actions. They need to see it in your life. You are a person of influence. And as soon as I say that, some of you are arguing with me. You're like, nah, you don't really know where I'm at. I don't know how large of an influence, but I'm here to tell you, you're influencing someone. And that's a powerful opportunity. that you would seize that moment. You know, so many people had gathered to speak about and to testify about the life and the influence of one young man yesterday. Cody's life. And how it had touched these people. And it was interesting how many people talked to me about, I didn't know that about him. I didn't know that. And there's so many things going on in your life that other people don't know about. And it just seems like normal everyday behavior. But in that spot, if you're wise, you're leveraging the gospel into people's lives. You're living something out that people will see and be touched. They may not know what it is to begin with, but your walk is your behavior. It's the steps of lifestyle that you're choosing. And so we are to be people who walk wisely. He says, make the most of your conduct. So you'll know that this is the time. It's critical. Your conduct matters. Your children are watching you. Even if they're children who have grandchildren. Some of you, see, you thought I was going to let you get away with that. Your children are still watching you. They're watching how you finish life. For some of you, your children are very young. And you're still at that stage where you're getting scared by the fact that you hear your voice coming out of their mouths sometimes. And you're like, ooh, yeah, they're watching you. You're influencing people. Lead with your deeds. Jesus spoke this to his disciples in Matthew chapter 5. I'd like you to read this verse out loud with me. Look how he put this. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Your light is to shine. Now, if Christ is inside, and he is, right? Christ is inside, then he is shining out. All right, but he said, I want you to let it shine in such a way, meaning that there's a different way you could let your light shine, and it wouldn't do this. Are you with me? See, sometimes you think, oh, I just got to let Jesus shine. No, you got to let Jesus shine in such a way that people will see your behavior, your good works, that there will be things that are good done to others. Sometimes people get complex on the good works things. Good works means good work. All right? You can study that out and you'll still find in the original language, it's good work. That's what it means. And some people are afraid of opportunities in other people's lives because they come dressed in bib overalls and they look like work. That's what opportunity is. It's work. It's a chance to do something of benefit to somebody else, and it will usually cost you. He says, do it in such a way that they'll see your good work. But here's the key. Who do they glorify? Your Father in heaven. Oh, this is where the trick comes, see? Because it's pretty easy to do stuff and people do what? They put it on you. The challenge is to do it in such a way that the glory goes to him. That people are recognizing that's who's behind this. It's not about your ego. It's about your Savior that you want to draw the attention to. And so this is a critical thing because your lifestyle right now, whatever you're doing, your lifestyle is communicating something. It is. Your neighbors are thinking something about you. If Jesus is inside, I want you to display him to your neighbors. What would he be doing? And you know, I'm excited to be a part of a church where I know people are saying, hey, you know, I go over and I mow my neighbor's yard, or I go over and I do this for my neighbors, or I've been able to do this for a coworker, and so I had this going on. And those actions towards people who are outside are powerful. They're influential, all right? And sometimes I see it in the way we treat each other inside, and it's awesome, you know? One of our members went and spent a night in the hospital with another member who was in there for surgery. I'm just like, that's awesome. And we will do that for family. That's family. He says, now what about for the outsider? You see, because when you see that done for family, it's an awesome thing and it reveals the love of Christ within the family. But when you do it for somebody outside, then they go, what's that? Do you understand? That you can live lives so radical that people are going, what's with you? And sometimes they'll ask it in very kind ways. How come you're so weird? How come you're crazy? When you're in that spot, don't take the glory. Just give it to God, all right? And say, hey, well, this is what Jesus is doing in my life, and this is why I think this way. You don't have to preach the whole story. Just this, Jesus just gave me this idea. I just thought I'd bring you a flower. Just thought you might like some cookies. I just was thinking about you, and that's it. Just live that life before them. There's a clerk you're going to see this week somewhere in this town that God has appointed to meet you. But it's not so they'll meet you. It's so they'll meet Jesus. And if you've ever worked retail, you know a lot of times when you're behind the counter, you are not meeting Jesus. Some of you retail know what I'm talking about, isn't that right? The way people treat you, it does not feel like it's Jesus at the desk. But you can be different. That your actions, that your life, that you can be personal, caring, thoughtful. You know what scares me sometimes? Is that sometimes those who name the name of Christ are most obnoxious people on the planet when it comes to service. What is with that, friends? We ought to be the most humble people. Sunday afternoon, I talk to waitresses. They don't like the church crowd. Number one, a bunch of you are tight, so you don't tip well. Number two, you're grumpy or demanding. That is not Jesus. Now I'm going to mess with some of you's fun. I'm sorry. Just going to do it. I'm not really sorry. So I'm just going to do it anyway. When you go out, you're on assignment for Christ. To reflect the love and life of Christ to that waitress, to that waiter. You ever think about what they might need that night as opposed to what you want, when you wanted it, and how you wanted it? I'm not saying if they're doing a bad job in the kitchen, you can't say something about your steak. How you say it is going to reflect life back to them. He says, make the most what? Of the opportunity. Make the most of the opportunity. There is a time that opportunity is kairos. We think of chronos, that's, you know, you're looking at the clock as far as, hey, there's a specific minutes. That's not what he's talking about. He's there's a season. And some of you know when you're parenting, there's these little teachable moments. Usually, when are they? Inopportune times. Remember, I've told you guys this again and again. Opportunity knocks at inopportune times. There's these teachable moments. You know, it's when you're exhausted, and there's that moment. You can share that with, or it's late at night. They want to keep talking. That's okay. Just talk about Jesus to your kids. I don't care how late you talk to them. Take the opportunity to communicate with your actions. So with this idea, some of you in the King James, you've got that redeeming the time phrase in there. Now, redemption is often used of the idea of buying somebody out of slavery. This term, redeem, is not to buy out, it's to buy up. Okay? It's some of you who are old-timers here, you wish you'd bought up a little more property in the 70s in Josephine County. Because property did something in the 80s and the 90s, didn't it? See, if you'd have redeemed the opportunity, the season, you could have leveraged that a little better in your portfolio. Are you with me? So he said, there's this time that comes, and if you miss it, you won't make the most of that opportunity. So how do you get there? Friends, you have to be walking in the Spirit. It is the Spirit that shows you those opportunities. It's the Spirit that reveals that situation to you. And you know, oh, this is what you're supposed to do. And He will lead you if you let Him. Okay? So, your behavior reveals your beliefs. You need to let that happen. Let that be revealed. Okay? And you just don't know when it's coming. So the next thing he says is, then let your speech. So he moves from your actions to your words. He says, let your speech always be with grace as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. You let your speech, usually is the word you guys would like to put in there, all right? That's what we like to put in there. Would you let your speech usually be seasoned with grace? God's so demanding. Do you know why he's demanding? So that you'll be dependent. He holds a standard far higher than you and I could possibly achieve in flesh, that we would be dependent in the Spirit. The ridiculous, extraordinary, awesome commands of Scripture are there so that you'll know you cannot do the will of God by the power of the flesh, that you be dependent. So he says, let your speech always. Okay, I want you to turn and bless that person next to you, because some of you need to remind that person about this, and now you get spiritual permission to do it. Okay, so just tell them, always, just go ahead and look at it. That's all you have to say, just always. Always. Ooh, I saw some stuff going on out there. Yeah. You know, some of you, this is just a freebie. It's not in the notes. That person you just said always to, it is always to them. You ought to be preaching the gospel to your spouse by the character of your speech always. They ought to hear nothing but blessing in a way that you communicate to them. That's not in the notes. That's free. Okay. But what that really is saying here is that God cares about all your conversations. Is that a sobering thought? Did you have a couple this last week that you really wouldn't want us to put on PowerPoint? Frank said to so-and-so. Ooh. He knows. God sees every word. Friends, season your speech with grace, responding wisely to each person. To each person. To each person always. Whew. This is big. This is really big. But this is the opportunity. See, this is where you can leverage this for maximum impact. He says, hey, I want you to speak in such a way that people will hear. And the Bible says what? We speak from where? Heart. The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So if you're having mouth trouble, you got heart trouble. Right? You got a heart condition. Now, when I use that term, some of you just shifted. You're thinking cardiologist, and you understand, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. That's the same concept, friends, spiritually. He says, if your mouth is going off in the wrong direction, then you need to deal with some things so that that condition will be changed, and not just go, oh, that's just the way I am. It's not the way Jesus is. Quit making him so uncomfortable in your body. Let him speak into other people's lives, because you are flavoring the lives of people around you with your conversation. Did you see that there? He says, let your speech always be with grace. Now, we think of grace as the idea of unmerited favor, but actually here it can also be read to be that which is attractive, that which is pleasant, that which is encouraging. Okay? Which is giving that way without someone earning it. You see, oftentimes when we speak to people, we speak to them because they earned it. Even the blessings. You compliment your spouse because she did this, because he did that. It's about performance. He says, I want you to speak grace to people. It's not based on their performance. It's based on their person. You want to grace them. That's what Christ did. Aren't you glad that Christ did not give you what you earned? Every day, he does not give me what I earned. He graces me. And so we are to grace people with our speech. But understand this. He says, I want you to let your speech always be with grace. It means you are responsible for everything you say. Go ahead. Tell that person next to you. You want to tell them. Go ahead. Just do it. You're responsible for everything you say. Okay. If you need to call the office about marriage counseling, the number is 476. Okay. Listen. Here's this awesome thought, though. I want you guys to get this, and I know some of this may be missing this, but you can give grace in every conversation. What would it be like if every time somebody talked to you, they went away going, man, that was nice. That was nice. I mean, sometimes we joke and we tease, and I did that this morning, and it wasn't very far. I got down the road to talk and said something to somebody, just being ornery, and I went, I don't think that was grace. May have been funny, but it wasn't grace. You guys know that? Sometimes we're talking real funny to people, but sometimes it's funny that hurts. Sometimes it's funny that dishonors. Sometimes it's funny that's not helpful. Listen, Christians, I don't know how to say this sometimes. So this is challenging for me right now. I want to be gracious, but I want to be direct. So don't blabber, bless. Okay? Just think about it a little while before it comes out. There's a proverb that says, the righteous ponders how to answer. There's another proverb that says, hey, you know, there's one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword. So I've been working on this week. And then I went home at lunchtime. And my wife and I started into this conversation. And I had to do some pondering. Because there were things shared that my mouth did not want to ponder. My mouth wanted to pontificate. You know, you want to make something. No, hey. Okay. You know, sometimes the best thing to say is nothing. You know, now you're. Your mama taught you, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. I'm here to tell you your mom was wrong. But the book says, you can't say anything nice, learn to. Don't just shut up, grow up. Learn how to bring a blessing into that place. Now you may have to slow down. That's me. Slow down, ponder it, but you still need to speak the truth in love into situations. And some of you have just shut down and you think you're being godly. And I'm here to tell you, shut down is not always godly. That's just another flesh technique. Okay? It's about saying, no, I want to bless. I want to build up. Proverbs 10:19. Read this one with me. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Can we all say, amen? You know, I could have just used that verse and sent you guys home today. I mean, right there, just like, oh. Now, but back over, I want you to keep that verse up there. But I want you to go back over here. He says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt. Right? So what he's saying is, when you're in somebody's life, all right, you're putting a little flavor in their soup. All right? He says, they're going through life. You speak in their life. You put a little flavor in their soup. Okay? And some of you, you know, when you get your soup or whatever it is that you're eating, you start putting a little flavor in it. You haven't even checked the flavor. I know you sodium addicts. Okay? That's the way you are. Okay? But when it comes to talking, remember, we're talking about outsiders. And he says, I want you to think about how you're flavoring people's lives. Because some of you, when you get a chance to speak to people, all right, and then you start talking in their lives, all right? I got to get this thing to cooperate with me here this morning. There you go. That'll cooperate. You start talking about Jesus. And this is what happens. Hey, about you, what you need to know, what you need to be doing, what God did for you. You want some of this soup? Why not? The salt's good. You like salt, isn't that right? Even if the doctor told you you're not supposed to like salt, you still like salt. But you only want so much. Do you understand? With your words, you need to measure what you're putting in people's lives. And you need to look at it. You need to think about it. You need to be wise about it. And so he says, hey, friends, sometimes you get this. I have done this. I had a guy one time ask me one question. One question. It had a spiritual angle to it. Beep, beep, beep. Man, I took my evangelical dump truck and just, I'm about 10 minutes into this conversation. I just happened to look up into his eyes, which, by the way, which you ought to be looking at when you're talking to people at the same time. And I just saw this glazed over look. And I says, too much, huh? Because, yeah. Friends, you pour too much salt into people's lives and they won't want to talk to you. It's not that it's not salt. It's salt. He says, listen, let it be seasoned with salt, not saturated with salt. Some of you are just bibliographies. You're just, you're always quoting scripture at people. Be careful. It's scripture. And it's powerful. But the Bible says, according to the need of the moment, over there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, that it may give grace to those who hear. The need of the moment. Sometimes, Christians, when we are in the midst of a crisis with people, we think, now I've got the opportunity. And yes, you do. Be careful with your salt. Be careful of quoting those promises to people, pushing that stuff on them. You say, well, James, how do I know? Well, you need to listen more than you talk. So then you'll know what you're supposed to say. You just don't always know. I was in a conversation with a neighbor this week. I was walking. And we had this little chat. And he, you know, he knows who I am. So I can't be incognito. So he says something about church, you know, and about not being there for the last 5 years, ever. He knows his own attendance record. I didn't have to bring it up. But at that moment, then I just shared back just a little thought. It says, you know, just would love to have you come sometime. I know your wife would like to come. He's already told me. See, I was listening. He goes, yeah. He goes, I just can't find a way to get myself in there. There's a moment. See right there? This is not the spot. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So I just asked him a question. I says, so why do you think you're there? And for the next 15 minutes, I got to share the gospel. Because he invited me to. And it wasn't about whether you go to church. So where are you at with Jesus Christ? But you have to be sensitive to the moment. And then as I was walking away, it was pretty funny because I thought, that was a nice conversation. He goes, yeah, you need to go get that sermon done because that last one here was fine. Might have been a little too much salt. I don't know. Listen, be wise. Restrain your words. So that, are you still with me? Back in verse 6. So that you'll know how you should respond to each person. Oh, responding to people is not a problem. Isn't that right? You've always got a response. It's how you're supposed to respond. That's the challenge, is that what is it that they need from Jesus today from me? That's the how. And that's why the Bible says, if you're a child of God, you're to be led by the Spirit. When you get up in the morning, you're to be filled with the Spirit. Why? So that the how comes through. All right? Because if you're not careful, the Bible warns us that you can speak to people in such a way. You know, this is back to another bowl of soup illustration. The Bible says, if you speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, it's really hard to listen to somebody when what they're saying comes across like this. Amen? Sorry, ladies. Put some dents in the bowl. If it's not from love, hear me, if it's not from love, then it's not from Christ. If it's not from Christ, then where the beep is it coming from? This is important, friends. This is eternity we're talking about. And so in Proverbs, he says in 16, 23, and 24, he says that the heart of the wise will teach his mouth, and it will add persuasiveness to his lips. And he'll understand that what? Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the, healing to the, wait a minute. It's sweet to the soul, healing to the, and we're doing that with what? Words. Your words are touching souls. That's awesome and that's scary. But your words are touching souls. You can bring healing to bones. We are put at times in situations where you have to seize the moment. We have to take on a situation. I mean, I'll just use my life. That's the only life I got. All right. Yesterday, I'm sitting here with numerous addicts. People on heroin, prescription drugs, meth, friends of Cody's. Part of Cody's world where Cody had been. But Laura and Tracy said, this is an opportunity. We want to seize it. They wanted me to talk the truth. In love, the people in the moment. And it was heavy, and it was significant, and we were touching souls. And I thank some of you have been praying for that, because it was awesome. Not only at the service, but then after the service, I had people coming up and saying, this is what I've been doing with my life, and this is what I've been doing to my body. But it was a moment. And we have to be careful with our moments. But your words are there. And some of you, you're like, man, I talk to these people, I feel like I'm banging my head against the wall. Maybe you are. Because you're not supposed to be using your head. You're supposed to be speaking from your heart. Let it change the way you speak. Let it change the way you speak. Because how you say what you say defines the influence of your words. And so in a particular setting, at a particular time, I could talk to a whole bunch of addicts and say, you can't keep doing this because it's going to destroy your life. Because we just had watched it do that with someone's life. And they understood exactly what I was talking about. But that opportunity wasn't there a week before. I'd have got the hand to the mouth. But on that day, there's not. So you follow what I'm saying? That we have to look at situations and say, is this the time? There's times when you know what you know, but it's not the right time. So be careful. That's why you have to be walking in the Spirit. That's why you have to be praying, like he said up here. Pray that I make it clear in the way I ought to speak. He just had said that in the verse before. What are you speaking? That you'd respond to each person. Oh, each person? Man, I just got this one story, James. I got this one concept down. How am I supposed to know how to respond to each person? You let Jesus lead you. Awkward situation is last week, or actually last couple weeks. Somebody called in. We called them back on the phone number we thought we had, and they says, that's the wrong number. It happened 3 times. And we're like, what's with this? This is really strange. Someone's called us, given us a number, they give us the wrong number every time. But we didn't give up on it. We just went to prayer, tried to do some checking around, and found another way to get hold of the person. Led to a visit because they were wanting to come in for premarital counseling. There's a moment in people's lives that I get as a preacher because they want to get married. Seize the moment. So I'm sharing the story of Christ about marriage, and I ask, where is Christ in your life? See, friends, that's what you need to be doing. It's not about preaching Christ. Sometimes it's just sharing. This is what Christ has taught me. This is what's going on. So where is that in your life? And the person says, I don't know. It's my moment. I got a whole bunch of other things that I thought were supposed to come out here. But this, no. I know what this moment is. And it was awesome to watch an 18-year-old walk into the kingdom. But it took secretaries working on that. It took other people praying about that. That all of a sudden, you get your moments. But friends, they're not always the way you think they are. They don't always come the way you think they will. But it's according to the need of the moment for each person that you give grace. Friends, these are hot days right now, aren't they, physically? But they're hot days spiritually. And you know that hanging basket you got, if it don't get water every day, toast. You cannot miss one day, can you? There are people around you that you need to be watering. Do you understand that? That you got the water of life. Don't drown them. Bless them. Water them. Season them. Encourage them. How do you do that? You listen to them. Because the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, you gardeners, you understand this, because some of you have been planting, you've been working. Some of you have already picked some tomatoes. Go ahead, you proud people, wave your hands. You pick some tomatoes, isn't that right? Yeah, some of you picked your tomatoes. You're eating fruit. Why? Because you worked in the garden. You're eating the fruit. You know, you're gardening with your conversations in people's lives. You're sowing seeds of truth. You're sowing seeds of hope. You're sharing words of promise at the right time, in the right way, and you will reap if you don't grow weary. That's the truth. It's his truth. How do you know? You listen. Because we have good news to share, don't we? We have the greatest news in the world. The greatest news in the world. That God's grace is for you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. If you haven't heard anything else today, you don't know Jesus, please hear me. By the grace of God, you can be saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. There is a forgiveness available in Christ. Amen? It is the best news in the world. And we ought to be people who are looking like it. And sometimes I'm talking to people who got faces so long they could suck oatmeal out of a vase. Come on, man. If you got good news, tell your face. Hey, God's done something in my life and I can't wait to talk to you about it. And then stop right there. Don't tell them. Wait for them to ask. Just wait. Hey, God's done something. I want to tell you about it sometime. Wait for them to ask. Sometimes we're shoving it down people's throats. Most of us don't like to eat that way. Don't feed your neighbors that way. Friends, Jesus knows how to love them. If we listen to him, he'll show us. In our deeds and with our words, we can pour grace into people's lives. Listen, lead with your deeds, confirm with your words, and Christ will be honored. Does that make sense? Listen, your conduct, your conversation can powerfully communicate grace to people. And when you communicate grace, the awesome thing is that then you understand is that your conduct and that your conversation will powerfully communicate Christ to people because he's the author of grace. So how have you been doing? I'd encourage you to do this. Take a daily inventory of your actions and your conversations. And if it's not happening at home, forget about what you think is going to happen in the world. It ought to happen on the home front first. So that's free again. Not in my notes. Second, pursue wisdom. What is it that God really wants to say? And then by all means, do it. Speak the truth in love. And Christ will be seen. Zacchaeus came down that day when Jesus invited him and his household was saved. And there's a whole bunch of tax collectors got to hear about Jesus because Zac heard about Jesus and followed him. That's you. One person in the kingdom. You got a powerful opportunity. It's called your life. Make it count. 1,440 minutes a day. He gave them to you. Spend them wisely.